inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Welcome to Friday Form Focus. The team is assembling. Nick Quinn has just sashayed in. The big shark's here. Morning, Shark. Back from the Gold Coast.
Morning, Matty. How are you?
You were part of a pretty big crew up there, weren't you?
Oh, there was
the Spicerettes.
Yes, we had a group of owners come up for Platinum Angel on the Saturday, which was good. About 30 of them. And I believe that, yeah, look, it was good. There was some fun and frivolity, as there always is up there, but a lot of work too.
I heard at the back when you were loosely talking about it that there are stories, not necessarily involving you, but
there are
stories.
Probably not that we'd be repeating on radio. Ooh. I wouldn't have thought.
Quinny wasn't there, but like you and I, like me, he wishes he was. How are you, Quinny?
No, I was there.
Oh, you were.
I kept a very low profile, as per usual, as you'd expect.
There. Was he part of the stories?
No, I didn't even know you were there.
Well, that's because I was working hard.
Yep. So was I.
I'm not sure about that from my stories.
I work in my sleep, Nick. I never stop.
Nocturnal from all reports.
Never stop.
So what? For those who've never been to the Magic Millions and have always wondered what it's like.
Hot.
Claustrophobic a bit?
No. That was what I was most taken with, how open it was at the races, how spacious it was and how enjoyable it was wandering around, unlike Flemington when it does get very,
Sorry?
Very crowded.
The races you're talking about, yeah. Being spacious and comfortable.
Were you at the Deegan races, wow, when the Gold Coast was on?
Have you are not you're not being serious, sure.
100% serious. You might have been in a marquee or frolicking around in that sort.
I didn't go to the races.
Well, then how
because
can you
my
comment?
Experiences at past
hey, let's
Magic
keep it
Means
nice.
Race days have been awful.
No, it was lovely. Well, they did a lot of reshuffling from years gone by.
Reshuffling, okay.
So a lot of space out there on the lawn, and I would strongly recommend it as a day out to anyone thinking about going next
Surf
year.
Surf clubs are a better option, I feel. But I'll tell you what they did do at the sales. Barry Bowditch and the crew have done a remarkable job transforming the auction room, I guess you'd say, the hall there with giant industrial fans and a bit of tarting up of the interior. It looked great. It was far more comfortable this year with air conditioning and fans. So thanks, Baz.
Yeah, it's a phenomenon, the Magic Millions, isn't it? Like, it came out of nowhere, this invention to take up a little bit of summer space at the perfect setting, and the growth of it and the repeat return factor now. Like, you've got these horses that come back year in, year out. It's not just one throw at the stumps.
You know, he's won a couple of $1 million races now. It wouldn't happen not for the Magic Millions. It's a great concept. It gives owners a good chance to run for $1 million races with horses that probably, heard you say earlier in the week, would never get into a $1 million race. They're not good enough.
But, no, that's right.
As a Magic Millions graduate, you are, as long as you pay up for the race series.
It's all about living the dream up there. Flemington tomorrow is... It's always... Flemington's Flemington, so whenever you go to Flemington, people are going to have a bet, and the racing is always as good as it can be at a certain time of year. But it just looks to me like the calm before the storm, this meeting.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a dip meeting. Not to say there aren't points of interest across the day, but it's a lot of good opportunities for horses that aren't necessarily stringing them together tomorrow.
You're right about that. There's some interest early in the day with the two-year-old race and a couple of good betting opportunities, albeit at short odds early in the day. But then there's a few really tricky big field open sort of contests, and the Kensington Stakes, which lacks star power but does have a pretty handy horse in Champagne Cuddles, resuming. She's been Group 1 competitive in the past.
Mm.
You know, Stradbroke Place, get her behind San Adelaide. So there is some quality there, but it's a bit sparse, I would say, at this point in the game.
Quinny, there's a very interesting Weir runner running, and I can't even find it.
Race 3?
Yeah, the former New Zealander that's
race
come
three,
across.
Race 3, number 7.
English Gambler.
That's an English Gambler, the one that's come across from New Zealand. And what I don't get is last Saturday at Flemington, Chauffeur, how we all knew it fitted the perfect template of the perfect comes to Weir. It should shown previous talent. The trial was okay. Amazing how it went around at $21. And I've never known a $21 chance where every single person had it in their quaddy as insurance, but it still went around at 20-1.
Insurance.
And here we have another newcomer to the Weir stable, resuming great form in New Zealand. Hard to get your head around the strength of the form, but I'm imagining punters, after getting burnt off Chauffeur last week, have kept this one a bit safer.
Yeah, it has been a firmer 750 into 650 to be on the second line of betting at that quote. Rocks the Castle heads that market at 360. But can I just jump back to Champagne Cuddles to ask you both a question about her? She's nominated for the All-Star Mile. Do you think she can get to that calibre, and what's her pet distance going to be?
Not a mile.
No. Not a mile.
She's going to run in the Newmarket, isn't she?
They're open to thoughts and suggestions at this stage. I think tomorrow will tell us a lot about what she does.
What do you think of the All-Star Mile coverage to this point of the game before we start getting into the form? I see Mick Manley wrote a piece with likely nominees that'll make the field. Look, fair dinkum. Some of those horses, if they're in the All-Star Mile, I'm out.
I think if you're going to have novelty runners, you have to maximise...
You can't have novelty runners.
No, but what I'm saying is if there's an element of novelty runners, the only thing that can justify that is if the promotion for the race leading in is so strong that there's a bigger benefit. But there's no... And this isn't knocking it, but because there was no intention to get international runners, but there aren't any international nominations except for New Zealand. And I fear may happen with the public vote is it may skew the quality of the...
So Tom Melbourne might get in, which would be taking the mickey out of it, and I reckon taking away some of the credibility.
He might be a fringe category horse.
He's not up to that race. He hasn't won in 5 years.
Well, and it's going to come down to the specific marketing campaigns and social media reach of specific stables and so on. I just hope that when we get to the $5 million race at Flemington, that when we get to the day, punters want to see the best field possible for a $5 million race. I just hope that it achieves that.
Just like the Arimakinen in Japan, which this race was compared to, it is a legitimate elite Group 1 race every year. That's what this needs to be if it's to be taken seriously.
Yeah, I think there are some little risks there, but we'll see.
It can't become this every time a horse wins a mile, suddenly it's mentioned in terms of an all-star mile berth.
I don't mind that if it's an up-and-coming horse and you throw him in the deep end, because we've seen a lot of horses win three races and burst onto the scene. I don't mind that. Well, I'd rather that horse than something.
Let's return to this discussion after we have a chat to Liam O'Keefe, who's going to be preparing the All-Star track and also the Flemington track tomorrow. How are you, Liam?
Yeah, good, thanks, Matt.
We're back to the 1 p.m. start. You loved the earlier start last week because it gave a chance for the good four rating to stretch through the bulk of the meeting, but we're back to the more traditional summer start time, so it's going to be a test for the... For the watering process leading in, what are we going to be presented with tomorrow?
Yeah, we're on a good four this morning. I've just been around, done the going, sticking it to 9.2, which is on the softer side of our good four. The shear's 11.9, which suggests that the turf's very healthy and the rail's out 9 metres. So, it presents well for tomorrow.
All right, and the previous rail was 6, so you're just sort of edging out a bit further?
Yeah, just edging out. We have a bit of a program to move out in 3 metre increments to... cover the wear and tear from the previous meeting and getting onto fresh ground. It allows you to put a little bit of juice in it so that the rail won't give out during the day. So it's been working well, and yeah, we'll stick with that program.
Now, when the start time was about an hour or half an hour earlier last week, you were able to maintain the good four rating till about race 5. Are you going to be able to hold on to it for a while tomorrow, or are we going to get a quick upgrade to a good 3?
It'd probably be around that race 2 or 3, just with a little bit later start. But in saying that, they've dropped the forecast. It's only going to be about 21, 22 degrees with a cool southerly. So that will make it a little bit easier to achieve a sort of good four after 3 or 4 races. So we'll put on 46 mil for the week, and we'll probably put on another 6 or 7 tonight. So that'll have plenty of cut in the ground for the horses during the day. And hopefully we'll get up to a good 3, around that race 4 range.
All right, sounds good. Good on you, Liam, and I'm sure Greg will have a chat to you in the morning.
No worries, thanks, Matt.
Liam O'Keefe there, very smart young man, Liam O'Keefe. Just quickly on the All-Star Mile before we get to Flemington, one thing that I think exposes a little bit of confusion about it is that the way the trainers have approached their nominations. James Cummings knew early on that if he nominated too many Godolphin horses, there was a cannibalisation potential and dilute the vote, and then the whole stable suffers. Weary and Hazy don't seem to be subscribing to that view, because Hayes has nominated every second horse in the stable and Weir has nominated an all-star list of potential runners. But the attitude from those guys is, well, you can't get voted in unless you nominate, so you've got to nominate first. But I think there is a real threat that the voters are going to look at this sea of potential runners and not really know what to do. So, and there's only 4 wild cards. I mean, you can't have... Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting experiment. I'm not bagging it, but I'm mindful that it could go one way, and the way we're talking about with tokenistic runners.
When the Everest started, though, there was a lot of knockers out there, and I think it's safe to say the 2 years have been a success.
Yeah, but this is a different scenario. This the novelty voting in as opposed to the slot holder grabbing a horse.
But sometimes we've just got to sort of sit back and see what happens and put our faith in those that are making the decisions.
And there's value in the talking point, isn't there? The fact that we're talking about it. No, I think there's different ways to judge its success, but I think it's going to be curious to see how the voting in goes. All right, well, let's vote in some winners for Flemington tomorrow. I think Liam's set the scene there. The Rail's Shark, do you have any niggles when you look at Rail going out from 6 to 9?
Not really. Flemington's pretty reliable. So 9 metres, no dramas for me.
All right. This two-year-old race looks... Danny O'Brien seemed to think that this was a very good opportunity for his debutante Skador, because there have been a lot tougher two-year-old races around. Even the first at Rose Hill tomorrow looks a really tricky sort of race as well. But this looks... The exposed form, Quinny, doesn't seem to have got too many punters excited, although there is a warm favourite from the hay stable in Viking Warrior.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Viking Warrior, an even money favourite. Skador has been specced 8 into 750 on the fourth line of betting at that quote. Gamekeeper at 480. Mayozi, a $5 chance. Viking Warrior, the best back. But as you alluded to, a little bit of specking there for Skador.
And Shark, free of debt, the South Australian train runner, is also accepted for Morfettville tomorrow, so we're yet to see whether it'll run. It was a long shot all the way debut winner. What do we make of the short price favourite here?
I just updated the Morfettville screen, actually, with scratchings, and both free of debt and Mayozi are scratched from Morfettville. So that's only just happened in the last 25 minutes, I reckon. So we will get to see them at Flemington, which is good.
All right. Are they factors at Flemington?
I think Mayozi probably is in retrospect, because it franked the form of Viking Warriors first win, running second to that horse and then going and winning at its next start. I think with the small field, yes, and only one debutante, we've got a bit of a line on the form here. And Viking Warrior, in my opinion, only needs to sort of roll up in the same sort of shape that he was at Geelong on debut on Boxing Day to win this, because that was a dominant performance. He quickened up, led all the way, quickened up as well as the best closers. Two of those then went and ran 1-2 at Geelong at a subsequent meeting. So I think there's a bit of depth to the form there. I thought Gamekeeper was the danger. Number five, he comes through that Mayozi, Frankie Pino form line from Geelong on the 10th of Jan. Those two horses ran second and third to Viking Warrior, and I think Gamekeeper, with a bit of luck, probably should have tested them. So Viking Warrior is the clear top pick for me. I think he's got a bit of quality about him, and Gamekeeper would be next best.
Quinny, Hazy does an amazing job with these bush-bred, ill-bred things, doesn't he, to get them to scratch them over the line for a win. Fastnet Rock out of Scandinavia. It's just a battler's pedigree, isn't it, for Viking Warrior. Now, Quinny, it's about flip of the coin, is that right?
Yeah, even money.
All right, so we go to the second race and we've also got an even money pop, and it's always interesting to assess which even money pop is the one you'd put Nick Quinn's life on. And Danny O'Brien, the way he described it, he said, well, the market suggests that it's a 50% chance of winning and a 50% chance of losing. And he said, I'm suggesting it's a lot better chance of winning than that. So the reality seems to be that he thinks it's a $1.70 chance, Los Surges. Is that where it's going to end up?
Yeah, I reckon it will continue to firm, especially after a really good push from Dean Lester this morning. 210 into even money already. Heads the market from Pleasure into 320 second elect. There's been a little bit of support for One for Later, who's at $17 if you're chasing a Ruffy, but about 85% of the early investment for the favourite Lycurgus, who does look an early bank builder.
Well, you look at Shark, the potential risks of one against the other, and the potential risk for Skador in the first at the same price is the great unknown. Sorry, not for Skador, but for Viking Warrior is the unknown factor. I mean, Skador might come out and beat it. One of the others might improve leap lengths off a debut performance, but all the form's exposed in race two, and I would say most punters would think Lycurgus is the safer even money shot of the two in the first two races.
Yes, and I agree. He's running against hurdlers here, some of these horses. And that's not a knock, but some of these will be going over jumps, and some of them, you know, probably have been over jumps. So it's the race he should win. He was in a much stronger race last start behind Etymology, who he gave 3 kilos to. Etymology was too good for him and quickened up well, but then he went and won the Bagot just as easily. Berisha and the like in that race on the 22nd of December are a much better quality of animal than what he meets tomorrow. He gets a really nice run on the speed. There's not a lot of pressure going forward. Maybe Kazerabad, maybe a horse like One for Later goes forward. But really, Oliver should just control the race here from a position in the first three. Barring bad luck or injury, he should be winning this and winning it comfortably, I'd have thought, because you know, the better horses in the race are well, the better rivals are not that good.
We are always wary of Weir, but Pleasuring, despite running third last start, seems to have not come up in any sort of lethal form at all. And
no.
Lycurgus is trained by a Resurgent stable and it has a terrific run at its home track. Quinny, has there been any? I mean, Pleasuring's the second favourite, but I wonder whether that's the Weir factor. I don't even think her last start suggests that she's returning to anything like her better form of last season when she was winning Oaks races. Is the market saying that maybe she's getting towards a peak run, though?
Looking at the way the money is going early doors, if you like Lycurgus, I'd snap up the even money. If you do like Pleasuring, I'd keep your powder dry because I think you'll get closer to $4 than the $3.20 currently available.
All right, Chuck. So the first two races with a couple of hot pots, is there any way we can link them up to get a bit of a bank builder?
Yeah,
or are you going to play either race in a certain way?
No, you could, if you like betting early, you could play the fixed odds double there, or you could play running doubles. I think they're both.
Never take running doubles with favourites.
Really?
That's my little motto.
Is that
motto.
Your sort of strange one of your
Well, I don't, quinisms? Know if it's, I don't know if it's that strange. I think when the favourites salute in back-to-back races, I think the running double will pay less than the $4 that's available on the fixed odds.
That's a good point you make. So maybe the fixed odds little two-leg multi is the way to go with a tab.
We'll test that. We'll have a look at that divvy tomorrow and see what the disparity between the all-up and the actual running double is. All right, well, we beef up a bit with race three. This is over 1,400 and there's an acceptance of 16. It might not play out that way, but there's certainly a nice big field here. It looks a lot more open. And the favourite in the race, Quinny, Rocks the Castle, was coming off a bit of a blip run, so that indicates the lack of solid winning form in the race, doesn't it?
It has been popular, 370 into 360. Heads the market from English Gambler, who's been 750 into 650. Outside the top two in the market, the best back number 11, Weapon, despite the wide draw, 11 into 950. So putters specking a couple at this early stage in what looks one of the more challenging races on the program.
What do we know about English Gambler, about its style of racing and what it's bringing to the table, Shark? What do we know much about it?
He's fairly adaptable. Most of his form's on heavy ground, which is, you know, he's not going to get that tomorrow, although he has run decent time on top of the ground as well. Really interesting horse. He's got good gate speed. He can sit sort of handy enough to the pace, I would have thought, over 1,400. The fact that he's won out to 2,100 gives him, I think, a pretty good scope here in Australia. It'll be a question of what level he settles at. I think this is a really nice starting point for him. I'm not rushing in to back him in the race, but I'm interested to see how he goes.
He's been gelded, he's got a lugging bit off, and he's got a tongue tie off. And Darren Weir's not a massive gear changeman, so those gear changes suggest he's done a bit of work on this horse.
I think the gelding notification, I think that's just first start in Australia. They notify. I don't think he has been gelded since he's arrived. I'm looking at his NZ form, and they've got him registered as a gelding, so maybe it's that weird quirk we sometimes see with Racing Australia that bobs up every now and then. I think he's a nice prospect to maybe level out as an off-season horse. Not sure what Weir's done with him. He's been to the jump outs and they just poke around there. It's hard to really get a real line on the strength of those jump out form unless they come out and absolutely trot up. I wouldn't be backing him tomorrow. I think it's a decent race. Some of the locals are a fairly good opposition. Rocks the Castle's looking for 1,400 metres now. Just a bit flat. Second run, 1,200 down the straight last time. It was a good effort. He wants this trip now. Weapon's the other one you mentioned there. And I know, Nick, you mentioned it as well. From a better gate, I would have been inclined to have a bet on this horse. I know Trent and Natalie have a really good opinion of him. I think it's taken a little while for the penny to drop. The Seymour win first up was excellent. He was entitled just to plug on into second, third, fourth. They'd be really knuckled down and chased down those horses over that last 150 at Seymour, which is traditionally not a run-on horse's track. Barrier 14's the sticking point with me. Probably just pulls me up on having a bet, but he is the horse in the race that I thought could really throw forward off this.
There's a lot of reasons not to have a bet in this race, isn't there? Do you put your faith in Rocks the Castle to bounce off a bit of a flop last start and justify a short price? What do you do with the Weir horse? What do you do with Weapon from the gate? There's a lot of reasons why I would imagine punters are holding off a bit here, Quinny, early days?
Yeah, there's been speaking early doors, but obviously it's going to be one of those races where I think the market's really going to take shape in the last 10 or 15 minutes before they jump, especially with English Gamble. If you see English Gamble 6.50 into 5 late, that's probably going to be a really good push.
Yeah.
If he drifts out to double-figure odds, maybe today's not the day.
It's a race the Tab could just love. If the first two favourites get up and punters are confident, they've got some money in their pockets and think, yeah, I'll have a fly at the benchmark 70 and then up Bob's Astro Castro or the like and just give some of that profit back.
I find...
It does happen.
With my punting...
You're just grinning and nodding.
With my sophisticated punting, the 1400 at Flemington with big fields and prominent chances drawn in is alarm bells for me.
Yeah.
I find there's a lot of traffic in 1400 metre races at Flemington, especially for horses drawn in. So, summing up, it doesn't sound like... It sounds like we're powder dry sitting on our hands a bit for race three. Righto. Race four is over 2000 metres. This is a field of 12 and... There's an obvious in-form runner here in Ocean X and a nice claim from Mick Price. But there's one or two others, Quinny, who are popular in the market?
The early money has been for the top two in the market. Ocean X opened 290, got out to 330, has subsequently been 330 into 3 today. Royal Perform has also been a firmer 6 into 420 throughout the course of the week and 420 into 4 today. Then we have Made Me Shiver on the next line of betting at 440. Yulong September at 750. If you're chasing a long shot, there's been... A little bit of support for the Patchy Kid at 51 into 41. A couple of 200 each way bets there at the 51. So some little nibbles at the big odds. But numbers 1 and 3, 3 and 1. Ocean X Royal Performance expected to fight out race number 4.
And Shark, sometimes a young jockey is thrown a bit of a challenge. And the challenge for Lockie King, who takes 3 off Ocean X, is to, on a warm favourite, to not be totally disadvantaged by what looks a tricky gate.
Yeah, true. Tricky gate to worry, as is the fact that this horse is fifth run in to its first prep. That's sort of more the worry for me. Lockie King's a great talent and sort of apprentices in good form like he is. Throw caution to the wind sometimes, don't they, in these sort of races and try and make something happen and quite often it works for them.
The reflex of an in-form apprentice from a wide gate is usually to go forward.
Yes, it is. And I don't think that is a problem for Ocean X. I think she doesn't have a massive turn of foot. She builds into her races as she did at Moonee Valley last time against the older mares, but she was a really good, solid winner at a short quote. I thought she was unders there, but look, she justified the support. They obviously knew the talent was there, and she got the job done. Oh, I just wonder whether fifth run in, barrier 11, even after the claim, 57 kegs on her back, against some unexposed rivals, that just pulls me up on Ocean X a little bit. And I think there's value, well, it's probably gone now into 420, but there was in Royal Performance. He just reeks of a 2,000 metre plus horse to me. And I thought his run at Caulfield behind Mars Angel was very good. In what became a sit sprint from the 600, he just couldn't quicken up with those horses when they really put the hammer down. But his last sort of 250 metres and through the line was excellent. He was picking up the winner on the line. I thought it was a great run. He's got a good gate. Linda Meach will get a very, very cheap run here on Royal Performance. And that was the way I went in the race as far as a top pick was concerned. And I thought as far as a roughie goes, Nick, what price have you got number 10, Hetera?
Currently for you, Hetera at $34.
Might be a little place bet there. I'm not saying she can win the race, but very well bred, good Albury win, good stable.
I know where you're coming from. These 2,000 metre races for these young horses that are lightly raced, quite often what can happen when they get to 2,000 is one of them leaps out of the ground and benefits greatly from the distance and goes bang. So I think that's the scenario that some punters might be mindful of. Quinny, just summing up that race, there are four principally in the market, 4.5 when you count Necessitas. Is outside that quartet, is there anything that's been specced and might be sort of like an early quaddy sort of circle there in that race?
The Patchy Kid's been the firmer at the big odds, 51 into 41, two bets of 200 each way at the 51. So that's been the one that punters are happy to have a couple of coins on, but clearly Ocean X and Royal Performance the best backed in race four.
That's an interesting rise in your voice then. Happy. Shark, so how are you summing up race four?
I'll back 3 Royal Performance to win that, to be the favourite.
Rightio. Okay, well, the bulk of the program's after the break, and it starts with the English Dash, and we're going to have a chat to a key trainer involved in that race. It's bang on 9.30.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
Bit of a bargain basement feel-good story might come to earth if Due Well wins the English Dash tomorrow. $250,000 race and a relatively cheap yearling for Robbie Griffiths and his syndicate. How are you, Robbie?
Good, thank you, Matt.
Yeah, not a super-duper cheapie, but certainly a reasonably cheap yearling purchase Due Well who's heading towards a big slice of this check tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. In today's day and age and what yearlings cost, he was certainly on the affordable side of life, that's for sure.
And as soon as you purchase one at Inglis, you automatically look for a way to find your way into the Inglis Dash.
Absolutely, yeah. It's big money. It's a great concept. And hopefully we can get amongst the action and get some of it.
Well, the first thing you've got to do is turn the tables on Tropezina from last start.
Well, we got a 5.5 kilo disadvantage when we went second, but now we're on level weight, so that sort of balances up there. I think the biggest danger is, for us and basically most of the horses that haven't been down the straight is the experienced colts of, Prairie Fox and, Ollivander's trained on track and Throndor's been very good down the straight in some good races. So I think that those boys are going to be very hard to beat. Especially for, horses like Due Well that have never been down the Flemington Straight before.
Something to be said for race fitness, though, Robbie, and your girl's got plenty of that. But the other aspect of her racing pattern that I like in a horse going down the straight is her ability to quicken. She's got such a sharp turn of foot, and quite often we see those horses are most effective down the straight.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm pleased, Sharky, about the barrier. I think it's a good draw for a horse having a first time down the straight. Most horses are probably a little bit more comfortable having the majority of their opponents either, with them or to their left of them. So I think that's a plus. And she does have a very sharp turn of speed. There's no doubt about that. She can quicken up, very sharply. So hopefully all those ingredients work for tomorrow.
Sounds like she's just got to front up in the same sort of form she's been showing lately to be right in the thick of things.
I think so. I mean, as I said, earlier, we don't sort of know how the girls' form is going to compete with the boys' form, but the race fitness is a big plus, and she certainly has that on the side.
Hey, a lovely name that's burst back into the form guide is M. Allen as the rider of Riverdance Lad. Maxie Allen, who I think drifted off. It seems to be the go-to career for jockeys, seems to be real estate, and then they get sick of it and come back to the racetrack. I think Maxie started flogging houses for a while, didn't he?
He obviously didn't sell enough, eh? He's back in the saddle.
Yeah, exactly. Is that where he went?
Oh, he did. I don't think it was his cup of tea. He didn't last too long in it. He's been doing a bit of contractual work, learning sort of the machineries and drainage and stuff like that as well. And, he's had a bit of diabetes the last couple of years, so he had to get on top of that. And it's no surprise that he had a little rest. And he went out pretty quietly. So it was no surprise to me that he made a return in the summer months when, his weight's down and he can manage his health well, and he's returned in fantastic style. He's just made nearly every post to win, which has been great.
Well, it'd be nice to notch up a nice win in town on a Saturday at Flemington with a winner of its last two in Riverdance Lad. How difficult to make it three on the trot tomorrow?
I've been a bit solid with his prep. This will be his fourth run in as many weeks, but he seems to be coping really well with that, and he hasn't sort of had much travelling involved, being running sort of local each week at Cranbourne, and he was very good last two runs, was terrific. So if he can get, he's up in grade, of course, but if he can get a similar run with the confidence that he's got, in this never know, it's a pretty open race, but in form is always good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be good to see Maxie back at Flemington tomorrow. Robbie, thanks very much for that, and we look forward to seeing your two runners go around tomorrow.
Terrific. Thanks, Matt.
Robbie Griffiths there. I reckon he sort of hinted at where he thought the main danger was, Quinity. And I reckon if they all find their best Flemington run, and this is despite it drawing Barrier 1, which can be a nightmare, maybe Thorondor has the best form lines up the Flemington Straight, but that doesn't necessarily mean much. But is that the way the punters seem to be thinking here?
Yeah, very much so. Thorondor was on the second line of betting at 4.20 when markets were posted, has been backed into 3.10 at this early stage. Due Well, a $4 second elite now out from 3.90. Beers with Clint has been 5 out to 5.50. Tropezina, a $6.50 chance. Ollivander there at 8.50. But Thorondor clearly the best back to take out the English Dash.
And Thorondor has drawn Barrier 1, which to me is the equivalent of drawn Barrier 50 around the corner. Shark, I've got an automatic hatred for it, but I've been wrong before on that front, but it still has to overcome what most punters think is probably not exactly the right place to be up the straight.
Yeah, you're 100% right there. And the other issue with the horse is he's coming here fresh off to, below par runs for him. Or one was at 1,000 metres, probably not his right trip in the Caulfield Sprint. But then the Coolmore, he was well beaten there and last, and just off his game on that occasion. At the best of his straight track form, the Danehill, he should be odds on here if he was first up off the back of that. And he probably would be odds on, Quinny, wouldn't he? Given the conditions of the race, he doesn't carry top weight. He's only 2 kilos above the minimum. He would be the horse to beat off that sort of form line, even from barrier one.
Any specking for Ollivander? He's been gelded.
Yeah, that's the interesting runner.
750 to 850, so not this early stage.
Do punters think that, Robbie Griffiths' query was girls versus boys form, and Joelle has to overcome that, but certainly seems to be better off against Tropezina. Are the punters thinking Robbie Griffiths can win the race?
He's the second best backed runner behind the favourite Thorndor. Thorndor's holding about 60% of the money at this stage, and Joelle's on the next line there with about 20%.
Well, what are we going to do, Shark? This is the last leg of the early quaddie.
I'm not going to bet, Matt, unfortunately.
Oh, come on.
No, not going to have a bet here. If Thorndor turns up, he wins, but we won't know till after the race. So I don't want to fly in and just bank on a horse from barrier one with those issues. Not the issues, but the fact that he went out to the paddock off two runs that were probably below his best. I think Ollivander's the interesting one at each way odds. If you did want to have a bet, I could try him each way. He jumped out quite well at Flemington on the 4th of January. I thought it was a really nice effort. He won his heat there, sat off the leader and just quickened up well and wasn't really asked to do a heck of a lot and still got the job done. He's a good class horse as a two-year-old, stakes competitive with form lines that match up to Thorndor during the three-year-old season. Just haven't seen the best of him since then.
So it's a race full of queries, so that suggests punters might cast the net a bit wide. I think there's a couple of really interesting factors in race six. This is over 1,400 metres. One of them is punters who follow trainers who are on the crest of a wave with strike rates. Mick Price is strike rate at the moment at Flemington particular is through the roof, and he's got the favourite here. But again, we have this scenario with a very promising Weir runner resuming in Mount Kilcoy, and if there's any positive move for it, it might just blast them, Mount Kilcoy. So, Quinny, I'm looking at those two as the ones that interest me most. Is that the ones that the punters are most interested in as well?
There's been money for four runners early doors. Mastering has been solid at the top of the market, 280 out to 290, but Set to Sparkle, Mount Kilcoy and Hey Now have all been backed. Set to Sparkle, 750 into 6, Mount Kilcoy, 7 into 6, and Hey Now's been 9 into 8 with some nice bets along the way, including 500 each way and 375 each way at the 9. So the favourite, unlike last start where he was absolutely truckloaded in the days coming into the race and Julie clung to victory. There has been money around for Set to Sparkle, Mount Kilcoy and Hey Now.
What do you reckon, Shark? I think I've got one eye on Mastering and looking at the corner of my eye to Mount Kilcoy. What are you thinking here?
I'm not 100% convinced that Mastering runs a strong 1,400, and I was of that opinion last start at Caulfield when he won, but he fell in. Harbour Grey nearly ran him down, and that horse wasn't exactly in sensational form. The blinkers come off, and I'll give him another go at the trip with the blinkers off because I think that he can be a little bit keen and just wanting to get on with things, with those shades on. So I'll have another look at him with the blinkers off here, but 1,400, I'm not 100% sold on him yet. The other price runner is the one I think is gross overs in the race, and that's Heptagon, number 3. I thought he ran a good, solid race first up at Caulfield. He was back, as he generally is. He got keen and wanted to race. Chris Caserta let him slide around the field from probably after the first 400 metres of the race. And he was just always wide, always working. He still loomed up on the corner. Just ran out of fitness that last little bit, but he wasn't bad to the line. $19, Nick, I think, is overs.
His last three starts on face value, looking at the results, may be a tad disappointing, but he's been rock solid in the market on all three occasions. Is that something you factor in?
Not particularly. It's more so race by race. With horses like this, I go back and look at his second up record. He's 2 from 2. He's beaten some okay horses second up. I don't think this is a race of superstars by any means. And I thought at $19, he was over the odds at least and worth a little 1 by 3 each way bet. Kaching's drawn a lot better this start. If he comes back to anything like his best form, he's right in this race. That wide gate at Caulfield in that Mastering Harbour Grey race. Just that was the end of him with 59 kilos. Zaris rode a conservative race, as he probably had to, given the horse's racing pattern, went back to near last, and he ran on well, beat half the field home, but the way the race was run, he was never going to be a winning chance. No shock to see him really improve second up. He is 2 from 3 second up.
What about the money-munching King's Command, who we've been waiting for him to resurrect that dominant all-the-way win at Flemington last season, but the circumstances and his own manners have gone against him. I guess he's another one. I'm thinking Quaddy now. This is the first thing of the Quaddy. If you're taking a fat and a skinny, if you go fat, you've got to throw him in on that wild card potential again, don't you?
You have to, because if he jumps, he'll go forward and he'll lead, and Williams will probably be asked to control the speed. And that all-the-way win at Flemington, where he ran by 4 or 5 lengths and ran really good time, that's probably the best of King's Command. The worst is when he misses the start. And he's been doing that more often than not lately, which has been a frustration for all involved. You throw him into the Quaddy, I think, because he is well and truly good enough to win this race if he does begin well.
I imagine Greg Miles will be having a chat to Troy tomorrow morning, and hopefully we can get to the bottom of whether there's been any work done behind the scenes to hopefully get him out of the gates, King's Command.
Troy, on that, Troy was of an interesting opinion too back at Flemington when he really reared at the start, and Michael Poy gave him a dig out of the barriers, and he overreacted and jumped up and hit his head on the top of the barriers. Troy was of the opinion that to the owners that if you keep trying to force them to jump out, you can actually make them go the other way.
Yeah.
So sometimes you just have to say, right, the horse has jumped before. We know what he's doing. Maybe fresh is best with him. Try a few things like that, rather than just keep going back to the classroom and trying to drill the barrier work into them. You can actually have the effect where they resent the barriers.
Well, the ultimate conundrum was on things. Chautauqua.
Yeah.
Do we practice or do we don't, and hope he forgets about it? All right, Quinny, this is the third test of which is the most reliable even money shot on the day. This is the Kensington Stakes Race 7. Sight unseen, but absolutely classy. Champagne Cuddles is pretty much the same price as Viking Warrior and Lycurgus earlier in the day.
And has been the second best backed runner behind Lycurgus on the program. Went up at 2, out to 2.10, but some good bets coming through at that quote. Glenola 3.90 second leg. Thermal Current's the second best backed runner in the race at the $6.50 quote, given a good push by Dino this morning. Miss Rock 8.50, Heart of a Lion at 11 with Snitzcraft, but Champagne Cuddles nominated for some big races this campaign, and hopefully can get the job done in the Kensington Stakes.
Shark, the only niggle I can see, I'm not worried about the straight first time, is a mare carrying 59.5 against some pretty wily old customers here.
And she's little. She's not a big horse, Champagne Cuddles.
Only getting 0.5 kilo off Thermal Current up the straight, which is a good patch for him. I wonder whether that's just a little thing that niggles at me.
Yeah, he's... Thermal Current's reliable. I heard Dean Lester say on the drive in this morning that he's just reliable up the straight, and in a race like this, that's a big factor. You know what you're going to get from him. He'll sit back off them. He'll hit the line late. He'll run good closing splits, and he'll probably finish in the first four. If luck goes his way, he can win. I thought Champagne Cuddles was too short for me in a race like this. I just don't think there's any value there. Glenn All has had some support, and he interests me a little bit. Had him half-pegged as a wet tracker early in his career, but he's got some good form on dry ground in the last 12 months. His Mooney Valley form line on good track, his Hawkesbury win at listed level on a good track. There's some pretty decent performances there, and then he didn't have any luck at all in a couple of runs before a break. So he's in the mix, and I reckon the old boy Heart of a Lion's capable of running a good race here too. His form right through the spring was rock solid. He was not far from horses of this quality. I think he's in the mix as well. It's not a race where I want to single anything out. I think Champagne Cuddles is unders.
I think a lot of punters are going to take the Cuddler one out, and I think maybe the strategy to get a bit of value out of this quality might be to not risk her, but pad yourself out a bit just in case.
Pad it out just in case.
Inside the weekend's biggest races, RSN 927's Racing Pulse and Friday Form Focus.
And we're up to race 8, and a little starting point might be the confidence of Kieran Maher when I spoke to him earlier about a couple that were one that appears over the odds in this race in Gerildery Letter, who's at $23, Quinny, and Black Sail, the stablemate, at a third of the price. And I think if you were to ask Kieran Maher to have a bet in the race, he's probably go for the letter over the sail. $23?
Yes.
Seems over the odds.
Yeah. Recent form.
It was a good win last
time. Yeah, he won well at Warrnambool.
I thought that was a really solid performance. $23 is probably overs. I'm not saying run out and get it from barrier 14, but it is over the odds.
Well, let's judge how over the odds he is by how short the favourite is. And the favourite is Lure Me In, who, and I don't quite get this one, Quinny, because Lure Me In ran second last start to Diplomatic Jack in a restricted BM70 here, and that's not the most glittering form line there, so I can understand confidence for a roughie like Geraldry Letter when you look at a red-hot favourite coming through what might not be the best form line in the world.
I won't talk anyone out of backing a $23 chance, and Geraldry Letter certainly falls into the bracket of being able to make a case for, but Lure Me In should have won by maybe four lengths last start, and punters are hoping to win it back tomorrow. 270 into 230, one of the more popular runners on the program, and should be too good, according to the market.
According to the market. Sounds like according to you too, by the way. When this is our fourth sort of flip of the coin-ish one of the day, how does it rank? If we were to rank them for likelihood of winning, I think we've got Lycurgus on top clearly.
Yeah.
Then I think we're actually then going to maybe Viking Warwick, because I think we're a little bit jittery about Champagne Cuddles for one or two reasons, are we, or not?
Yeah, I'm not backing Champagne Cuddles at 210.
What's your ranking of the four even money pops, Quinny? How does this one fit into the list?
Number two behind Lycurgus.
Oh.
And then toss a coin for third and fourth, the other two.
For third, I've got Champagne Cuddles, and I'm probably least confident about the babies to start proceedings.
See, the worry with horses that were beaten as obviously as Lure Me In when it probably should have won last time, is that the overreaction, yep, and everyone says, well, it should have won last time.
Well, say it beats Diplomatic Jack by a length or two lengths.
It's probably the same price here.
Or
you
longer.
Reckon it is?
Or longer.
Oh, you reckon? So, I don't know. It'll carry more weight for one.
No, I often do think they're overbet the next start, but I also think 270 about a horse that should have won comfortably, it's easy to see why the money did come. There has been money for Five Kingdom as well, though, 750 into five.
Very
in the second best back.
Well, if you think they're overs, the key is you've got to find the one that can beat them, and I guess the struggle here is to actually... Black Sail is an opportunist who wins every now and then.
No,
can we, if we're going to pot Lure Me In at $2.30, we've got to find one or two that can nail it. Which are they? What are they?
I think the horse that I'll take with it in the quaddy is Kilmacurra. I think it's ready to win now. Two good runs, stepping out to the distance range that he's most effective at. And that form around Lamborghini and Credence, it's solid. It's rock solid. They keep running well. Kilmacurra ran really well there. Laird just got the stitch late. Fourth run in now. I think he's a great chance in this race, and he's the only other horse I'll take with Lure Me In.
What odds is Kilmacurra, Quinny?
Currently a $7.50 chance, and on the fourth line of betting.
There you go.
All right, Quinny, you're wearing your price assessor's hat, but I know that occasionally you've been known to have a punt. What would you be doing in your quaddy with this leg? If we're to simply say how many you're going to take in your quaddy, how many would you take? Which ones would you take?
I'd take Lure Me In with one, and then I'd do a separate quaddy with Lure Me In, Five Kingdom, and I'll throw Kilmacurra in now because the Shark's tipping it.
He will not buy into Geraldry Letter, will he, Shark?
He won't.
I'm going to have a fiver on just in case.
Return to sender on Geraldry Letter.
Even though we have fleshed this leg out and the previous leg, we're still going reasonably skinny so far, aren't we, in the quaddy? We're probably about 3x3x3 at the moment by the poll of the people in this room at the moment. So let's have a look at how we're going to nail it in the last. And this is a biggish field over 1,200 metres, so it automatically tells me that it's a tricky race. And Mick Price looks like having a big day. He's got the favourite here, but by no means an overwhelming one in Langro, Quinny.
Has been clearly the best backed runner, though, with about 65% of the early money for Langro, who opened at $5 and now a $3.50 favourite. Intuition of $5 second elect. There's been a little bit of support for number four, just Highfalutin, who's been 12 into 10. And they've been the three punters' picks at this early stage.
Kieran Maher was... Maybe he was just feeling positive in life generally this morning, Kieran Maher, because he put a positive spin on Rutiger as well. And
heard that. He's Rutiger, going well,
though. Rutiger will probably have a different trainer tomorrow if the pattern continues. he's a $71 chance, and he's drawn possibly the wrong part of the track, but he's working well, so don't say you haven't been warned.
Yeah, he's going really well.
All right, so no order of command here. Take that on board. So we may be looking at Langro starting more like 320 than 360, Quinny?
Or the flip side is, has it now bottomed out? I'm not sure.
All right. Any others been speculated?
Not really. They're the three that punters are working around at this stage.
Anything for Intuition?
Solid. Solid at $5. So Intuition, Langro, and just Highfalutin.
Another good point made by Dean this morning is that savvy placement by James Cummings of late and the team, you know, whipping horses between states, and they're invariably running well.
Oh, they're a very popular punting stable at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Any hint of a spec for Atlantic City at big odds? Second up. I got it wrong first up. I wonder whether second up might be the go.
Well, you've got $21 to find out, so you'll be a popular man if you can get your winner up in the final two races there, races 8 and 9.
Righto, Shark. What are we doing in race 9?
We're going wide, Matty. We are going wide. This is a really, really tough race. I narrowed it down to 6. 4, 6, 7, 11, 12, 15.
Just it's really, Luton, really open. Atlantic City. So you threw Atlantic City in?
Threw it in, yeah.
Streets of Avalon.
I thought Just Highfalutin at $10 was good value along with Atlantic City. I think they are both overs in the race, at 10 and $21 respectively.
And all the ones you've thrown in have drawn middle to outside. Have you got it in your head that that's going to be the place to be?
Well, it has been the place to be for probably 12 months, hasn't it? So the odd meeting where, you know, it's fair back towards the inside and you can race there and race well and be in the finish, but typically we're looking at that mid to outside section of the track, so I'll stick with that.
All right. Well, let's look at the way we're going to play the day, not just the last race and not just early and late quaddies. Let's have a think about, Shark, what our strategy might be here for Flemington tomorrow. What are we going to do?
I'm going to do most of my work early, Matty. I'm going to back the first two favourites. I'm going to back Viking Warrior and Lycurgus. Lycurgus will be my best of the day. I think $2, you're still getting a decent price there. And I'll probably dabble with something each way on Heptagon in race 6.
All right. We're going to have a look. We might have a little look interstate as well if you've had a squiz, because we've got a couple of minutes up our sleeve. But, Quinny, just from a what punters usually do in this situation type theme here, we do have four close to flip of the coin favourites at Flemington tomorrow. What is the general, looking at turnover and your experience with the tab, how do punters generally treat a meeting when they've got four that they may parlay, but odds are that at least one of them is going to get rolled anyway?
Yeah, lots of doubles, trebles, and then a couple of punters taking the four leg all up. The best backed anchor has been Lycurgus, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that it's first up as well. A lot of people like to take a double or a treble and hopefully land on the first leg, and then at very least you don't need to have a bet on the other runners. So hopefully race two, number two, Can Salute, now an even money favourite.
All right, I reckon there's a bit of a dip in quality at Flemington tomorrow, which will rise very quickly as we get into this big summer, autumn of racing. But I get the feeling that the first at Rose Hill, I just want to concentrate on this one race. Even if you haven't done the form, Shark, I just want Quinny to go through the prices and the flux and a bit of a feel for it. Kieran Maher has got Igniting in the race, and he feels that it may well be every bit as good as Dubious, which ran second in the Magic Millions. And Igniting is well in the market here, Quinny, but you get the sense that this is the most interesting race at Rose Hill tomorrow, and one, given its placement on the calendar as we launch toward the big races, that might feature some very, very sharp two-year-olds. What's the market doing here?
And we also have two of the best-backed runners for the English Millennium going around in this race as well, with Accession 11 into 8 for that feature race and Igniting at 11. And they do head the market here. Accession, a $3 favourite. The best-backed runner, though, is Igniting, who ran second to Movie Roll on debut, posted at 370 and backed into 3. Punters anticipate 1 and 2, 2 and 1 to fight out the opener.
There's some incredible pedigrees here too. Snitzel, yeah. Gallant Tess, Wanjana, Eskimo Queen. It goes on and on and on. Have you had a look at this race, Shark, just at the corner of your eye?
Not in great detail, but the two at the top, Accession, I think he's a really nice horse, and Igniting got a little bit wrong there and hit the line really well at its debut run behind Movie Roll. I think that was the run of the race out of that contest. So they both look to have stakes class talent, and we want to see them right there in the finish to prove their form lines as much as anything else, heading towards better targets. So
absolutely,
I wouldn't defer away from those in that race.
It's a little bit unfortunate, all the drama going on in South Australia. The two dual acceptance runners are coming out of the first at Morphettville tomorrow, leading a field of five.
Yeah, it's
race one, 5 runners, race two, there, 6 they? Runners, race 3, 6 runners, race 4, 9 runners, race 5, 7 runners. Race 6, 8 runners. Race 7, 12 runners. And race 8's got a bigger field. Quinny, this is off the cuff and you may not know the answer. Is there evidence of a decline in punter interest on South Australia yet?
I don't know, but with those sort of field sizes, the top jockey's leaving, the top horse is not going there, the top trainer's looking elsewhere. It's in there, in only a matter of time before it does happen. So I haven't got any evidence to say it's happened yet, but I would suggest that obviously we're probably going to start looking elsewhere.
All right, terrific. I'm going to pin you guys to the wall. Shark, one horse that will win on the weekend. Quinny, one horse that's been backed to the exclusion of all others.
Lycurgus at Flemington.
Quinny?
Rose Hill, race 2, number 2, Lumberg.
Terrific. Excellent.
Thank you, Matthew.
Good on you guys. Stay there because I want you to listen to this live read because this is something that you guys will be wanting to jump on.
Oh, okay.
We have got the next winners in the Racing Pulse Picnic Bus Competition. Congratulations to Liz Kelly from Baldwin North and Rachel Durran from Hamlin Heights. You've both won a double pass to join us on the Luxury Coach to the Hillsville Picnic Races on Saturday, February 2nd. You'll enjoy a day of real grassroots racing and invitations to the RSN 927 Marquee. We have our own marquee, Nicholas. We're drawing more winners tomorrow, so if you haven't entered, get your name in now on the competitions page at rsn.net.au.